Okay, I want to address the following points. And I want to start off with also just an interesting haara I want to raise that I heard a long time ago to get us to our point. If you look, anyone here is a Steinbrücker person, Steinbrücker people among us. I try to be. It's hard, but I try to be. So, Vayakel Pekudei is like limited rashis. Very limited. If you look over here, I'm just, you know, turning the pages, there's, you know, the pages up that are no rashis at all. Small rashis, no rashis, no rashis, one rashi. Because Vayakel Pekudei are almost carbon copies. Almost. They're almost exactly the same discussions. They really are a recap. Again, there are details and why the different here versus there, we can talk about it a little bit, but they're almost exactly the same. Why was there a need to have Truma Tzabe, Kitisa in the middle, back and Kudei afterwards? I'm going to start with the following point, and then I'll use this as a lead into the shmooze. It'll be a shorter shmooze, so we can be able to, you know, it's very important, the text we all got about being the lunchroom on time, to be able to be Makar Tov to the one of the important members who helps us have food. He's been here for a long time. If you can imagine, the bushel I heard was, imagine you have a husband and wife who are you're registering for their wedding. Just to explain what registering means, you go to one of these Bed Bath & Beyonds, with one of these, like, you know, these guns, these little, whatever, radar guns, and you go and, and the husband and wife, usually the wife tells the husband what she wants, the husband shoots it. And then it goes onto their registry in the computer, you can now buy them what they want, what they've asked for from their guests. Nice thing. And imagine, husband and wife are right before the wedding right now. There's so much love. There's so much anticipation and excitement towards this coming wedding. And everything, oh, that would be great. Look great on our new, you know, new kitchen counter. That would be such a nice pillow to have. I love that kind of pillow. Oh, those are my favorite sheets. And you do all these beautiful things. You're so excited for the coming day. And then, imagine Nebuch, lo aleinu, that there's a extramarital affair that happens. The night of the wedding. Night of the wedding, you go to get a cup of coffee, come back in, and there's some busboy or whatever they have, and some guy making room service, and he's not going to make any jokes. He did something inappropriate with your wife. You walk in, you, what? You're broken over this. And imagine that all of a sudden, the people start buying these gifts, and every time that you get a gift sent to your house with your favorite, you know, that looks so nice on the kitchen counter, you know, whatever that was, the dishes that you had, you're nauseated by that. Nauseating to you. This was when we were in love, and now I can't look at her in the face anymore. It's disgusting. Every single thing that was there that was so exciting at some point in time, whether you get over this and figure it out or not as a couple, this gift has nothing but like pain. It represents the purity that you had, and that's been long gone. You can't stand it. And it's normal, and that's human. Because Baruch Hu is different. We basically had an affair. The moment of the chuppah, like under the chuppah, we were at Har Sinai, really registering the Torah. We had Truma Tzava, we registered all these gifts, all these kelim we were supposed to be having. Asuvi Mikdash Vashachati B'Socham, I'm gonna be there with you, I'll dwell in your midst, this kli, that kli. We're registering at Bed Bath & Beyond with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then, not even at the wedding night, under the canopy, the chuppah itself, they're making their way to go to chuppah, and there's the kala is with someone else at the chuppah. You'd imagine that the Baruch Hu would just, that's it, we're done. We finished. That was, of course, a reaction that came up in the Chumash, where Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, we're done. Moshe defends, Hashem forgives. But again, all the kelim that we had, you'd imagine, would be nauseating to cause Baruch Hu. But Hashem gives you back every single kli the way it was before him. There's not a sense of anger afterwards. There's no sense of, I can't look at this you anymore or this thing anymore. Hashem is a Baal Rachmin Kulo that completely forgives. And we have Vayakel Pekudei with the exact same vessels described as we had in Truma Tzava, though we had this horrific event in the middle. I don't care what you think you've done that would turn Hashem off to you. But you couldn't do worse than we did in Nebuchadnezzar. You couldn't do worse. I don't care what you've done. You couldn't do worse than having an affair under the chuppah itself. Couldn't. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you the same, he goes, Bath Bed Bath Beyond, and he says, I want the same kelim back. That is what it means to be a Baal Tshuva. I don't care how much a person's wife would beg for forgiveness of that story, you might stay married to her, maybe not, but you really can't forget. Forgive even is hard to imagine, but forget, no way. Hashem forgives and forgets. Well, not forgets, but he forgives, fully forgives. And that's what we have over here, is this reminder by Yaakov Bakudev, the same thing we saw pre-Egel, we have post-Egel as well. She gives a lot of chizuk. A lot of chizuk. Whether before we came to Eretz Yisrael, while we're in Eretz Yisrael, going on still right now. I saw someone today, they missed the minyan today. They came to me and they said, I don't want to use the language they said, but they said, I'm bad. Bad. You're not bad. You made a mistake today. Not bad. You fix it tomorrow. Fix it now. Dav mincha extra strong. You'll figure it out. We do not believe that when a person messes up, it's over. We don't believe that at all. There's not a time that you've lost your opportunity to come back. It's not. There are Gemaras that say that Acher, at least when Ebuya was said, you can't do tshuva yet. The Gemara says that was part, if he would do tshuva anyways, he would have been accepted also. It was part of the challenge. He had to overcome even that level of feeling that I'm hopeless. No, you're not hopeless. No one's hopeless. Everyone can come back. And with that in mind, I want to focus on one part of the Kalim. One of the registered Kalim we had in the Mishkan. In Paraglam Ches, Pasuk Ches, it says, Vayas is a cure nechoshes. The cure was made out of copper. The ace kano nechoshes, and the stem was out of copper. The maros hatsovos, ashetavu pesav olmoed. With the maros hatsovos, with the mirrors, which Rashi explains, Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem had a big machlokas. Says Rashi, B'nos Yisrael, how you biyadan maros sheroz ben kishem kashos. The most vain, inappropriate maybe, clue you could possibly imagine is your mirror, your pocket mirror. And you look at yourself all the time, oh, look, you're fixing your hair, I'm doing my teeth. And they offered that. Moshe Rabbeinu was like, please, like, give me something that's like meaningful. It's so vain. Hashem says back, I'll make us Baruch Hu, Kibel, Ki Elu Chaviv in Alai. What does Chaviv mean?
Beloved.
Beloved. These are more beloved to me than anything else we have. Elu Chaviv in Alai. These are so much more precious to me. You want to tell me that Hashem accepts, but why are they more precious? These mirrors is vanity. So I'll give you two shots I want to share with you, and I'll go with my own little idea that afterwards. The Baal Turim points out, and he says that a person who takes things that are Bali Taiva for him, we look at ourselves in the mirror, we try to, we think about ourselves in a very vain way, and we say, you know what? I want to give that up right now. I'm going to give it up. It's not that he gave it to the basic man, it means he gave it up. That ability to take something that was Baal Taiva for you and give it away is a tremendous level of mysterious nefesh. It is. For someone to give up their phone for a week even. For a week to give up your phone to something you're so connected to or addicted to, whatever you want to use for it. And you stop for a week. That's a tremendous. If you give that to the make a Sefer Torah parochas out of that. This phone, you know what it's, no, it's unbelievable. You're giving up to that? That's an unbelievable level. That's one shot. Hashem loved it because what it meant that they were giving up in order to be more kadosh. Neventhal is a different shot he brings down. He quotes Unklus. And he says that this gift of the kiyor, when they gave him to the kiyor, was related to davening. Of the avoda, of a davening. He says that they were so taken. Most people wouldn't give a mirror up. But imagine the following scene. Someone comes to you and they want something. They need something. They're needy. And you're like, what do I have? I don't have anything. You know, take my watch. It's like a moment of excitement and passion. You just want to give anything you had on you. Take my watch. Remember, I don't know if you guys ever saw the movie Schindler's List. So one of those last scenes there is Oskar Schindler. I want to ruin it, but the story is pretty well known anyways. Oskar Schindler was trying to save any Jew he could. He had to get out of money, but take a ring, take my watch. I don't know, what can I give you? That actually represented someone who said, I'm so inspired, take anything that you want. I'll give you anything I can possibly do. That's what it represented. That's why I said this. It's a demonstration of a people who would do anything they could to participate. Anything. I want to just end with one small point. My own idea, but I think there's a lot of truth to it. What a mirror shows is it shows truth. Meaning, unless you go to a fun house, where you see the mirror is actually what it looks like across from you. That's what a mirror is. What you see staring back from you is the truth. And what it represents is a certain idea that people who look at a mirror are understanding who they really are. The greatest challenge that we have in life is we don't get who we are. For either extremely one direction or the other direction. Make the direction also, maybe both of them. You want to push yourself. You know, I want to learn. I want to try harder. And you let the bar really low. All I can do is X, Y, and Z. I can't do so much. So for you, doing X plus 1 is a big deal. But in reality, you could do A, which is 5 times X. You don't really look at who you are. You're not really representing who you are. You sell yourself short. You think you're doing so well, but you're not. You do so much better than that. Or the opposite direction. You think you're some big shot. You think you've made it already, and you have so much more to do still. The mirror, you can't lie. Mirror, mirror around the wall, who's the fairest of them all? It tells the truth. You're looking at it, it's right in front of you. You can never get anywhere if you don't know where you are right now. You can't. You need 2 things in life, but the first one is, where are you? The second one is, where do you want to be in the end? But you can't even hope to get where you want to be if you don't know where you are. That's why the GPS is so important. I can see where I'm supposed to end up, but if I don't know where I am right now to make a turn, then I'll never get there unless I get lucky. The first thing you must understand is who you are right now. And then hopefully you have the ability to know where you want to get to in the end. But the mirror is that. It's a wake-up call. Who I am. I just want to end with this last point. I mentioned this a number of times already, is that in a few weeks from now, we're going to see a lot of who we are. We're going to see a lot of it. Because at the end of the day, whatever you think and you claim to be, and we're all good at putting on great impressions, when people drink, it's hard to have that shield anymore. It's hard. It's just not natural anymore. And people get to see who you are. Problem is that you don't see it, because you're not really remembering much of it afterwards. And neither people that you probably are watching, you don't remember either, so I guess no one really knows in the end, except for a bit more sober. Even those are only a few of them at the time. It's an opportunity. You have an opportunity to try to understand who you are. The picture might be very ugly for some people. Or it might be so much better than you imagined it would be. But you should really care about who you are. You should care about it. Because starting already months ago, you are building to the person you're going to become one day. You start as when you're born. Person become one day, and if you don't accept what you're struggling with, minyan, kavanah and davening, then how you ever get better? You never get better at it. And you can make as many excuses as you want, but then you'll be an adult making excuses. You'll be a husband making excuses, and then a father making excuses. So it's hard to look in the mirror and realize, I am not where I'm supposed to be right now. I could do more than I'm doing right now. And I want to be better. So first, know who you are and stop making excuses. You want your week, so then you're weak. Admit it, at least. But then push yourself to be a little less weak. But you have to take your life by the, take the reins of your own life and direct yourself better. It can't be that in the minyan, in the morning, people are missing as much as they are. It doesn't make any sense. Why? Why are you missing? How could a mashgiach of a yeshiva give a shmooze that's poorly attended? How is that possible? Where are you? You're in yeshiva. You have a person who spends his entire day life trying to cater to you. You should be running to hear shmoozes from a person like that. You should be running to morning seder. You shouldn't keep your chavrusa waiting. This is where we are now. We are late February. We are almost Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis. We have to know who we are, who we're supposed to be, but it starts with who we are. It's time for us to encourage each other. Encourage ourselves. Take a look in the mirror. It doesn't lie. If you don't like what you see in front of you, it's because you're not doing your part. And if you do like it, and hopefully you do, then you have to figure it out. So now where am I heading to? And how do I work about getting there? Which merits to always find ways to take things in our lives, push ourselves, encourage ourselves, push each other. And we do that properly, Hashem will be zocha to not only get to where we are hoping to get to, but well beyond where we even imagined. Have a good Shabbos.
Amen.